And now, news about Britain, read by Sandy Walsh. The threat to postal services in the run-up to Christmas appears to have been lifted with the reaching of an agreement between the Post Office and the Union of Communication Workers. The two sides agreed on a settlement late last night, after 2 days of talks. The deal, which is being put to the union's executive today, would cut working hours in return for improved efficiency. The Post Office chairman, Sir Brian Nicholson, called it a sensible agreement, which should remove any threat of further industrial action. The government will this morning publish its controversial bill containing proposals for reforming the country's rating system, the community charge. The new charge will replace rates as such. There will be an annual charge on every adult, whether or not he is an owner or tenant. A BBC political correspondent says the proposals are expected to be strongly contested by opposition MPs, and some Conservative members of Parliament have already expressed their reservations. The bill is due to be debated on its second reading in the Commons during the week before Christmas. Opposition Labour MPs are to press the Attorney General, Sir Patrick Mayhew, for a statement about the injunction the government has obtained from the High Court, stopping the BBC from broadcasting a series of radio programmes dealing with national security and the intelligence services. The first of the programmes, entitled My Country, Right or Wrong, was due to be broadcast on the BBC's domestic radio service this morning. The programmes were to include interviews with former members of the security services. The Attorney General argued that there was a breach of confidentiality. The injunction also stops the BBC from identifying any member, past or present, of the British Security and Intelligence Services. The BBC has said it will fight the ban. The government is being advised to set up an independent financial review of higher education. The proposal is made in a letter which is being sent to the Education Secretary, Mr. Kenneth Baker, by the body which advises him on the funding of polytechnics, the National Advisory Body. The group says polytechnics are being treated less favourably than universities. The polytechnics argue that they are expanding and that they educate students considerably more cheaply than universities. But the universities say this does not take into account their share of more expensive courses, such as medicine. British Nuclear Fuels and the Atomic Energy Authority have signed an agreement with their unions which will extend the scope for compensation available to nuclear industry workers who contract cancer. Under existing agreements, compensation is only available for employees who die of cancer, where the cancer can be shown to be linked with a radiation dose received as a result of working for the company. The new rules, which come in at the end of next March, will mean that compensation will be available for workers who contract cancer, whether or not the cancer actually causes the death of the worker. Prince Charles has been explaining why he has spoken out on a number of occasions recently on the subjects of architecture and inner-city housing. Speaking on BBC Domestic Radio this morning, Prince Charles said that he was driven by the feeling that he should do as much as he could to try to improve what he described as the terrible conditions in which many people live. The prince said he had tried to steer clear of party politics, but that after travelling around the country, he had seen that improvements, such as reducing the height of blocks of flats and providing more gardens for children to play in, could make an amazing difference to people's living conditions. In a speech on Monday to the Corporation of London's Planning Committee, Prince Charles accused architects, developers and planners of wrecking London's skyline. He said they had done more harm than the bombing raids of the German Luftwaffe in the last war. A report published by the Low Pay Unit shows that the difference in earnings between the north and south of Britain has doubled since 1979. The report says people in London and the South East are earning, on average, £60 a week more than workers in the rest of the country. In 1979, when the Conservative government came to power, northern employees were earning about £30 a week less than workers in London. The director of the low pay unit, Mr. Chris Pond, said the pay rates confirmed the picture of a nation divided. A report released by the Office of Population, Censuses and Surveys shows that the number of births, marriages and deaths in England and Wales is falling. The report, which compares population figures in Britain with 11 other developed countries, said England and Wales now had the lowest death rate for those aged between 5 and 45 of all the 11. But for the elderly, the figures were the highest. In the age group 25 to 44, cancer was found to be the main cause of death amongst women, while heart disease accounted for one-fifth of all men's deaths in this age group. The report concluded that the baby boom period of the 1960s was now over, and it predicted that a growing number of women will choose not to have any children, with those that do preferring two children to one. And that's the end of news about Britain.
BBC World Service, and now the sixth and penultimate part of Siegfried Sassoon's Memoirs of a Fox-Hunting Man. It is 1915. George Sherston has been based in an army camp in England since the beginning of the First World War. Stephen MacDonald reads At the Front.
Dick Tiltwood and I were on our way to the 1st Battalion. The real war, that big bullying bogey, had stood up and beckoned to us at last.
The League said any arms control agreement with the Russians should be linked to their behaviour in regional disputes. Another candidate, Mr. Jack Kemp, said the United States should not sign any new treaty with the Soviet Union until Moscow agreed to comply with the terms of previous treaties. The dollar has continued to gain ground on international currency markets amid speculation that West Germany is about to announce a cut in its discount rate. The dollar's performance began to improve yesterday after coordinated intervention by a number of European central banks and the Bank of Japan. It closed in Tokyo today at 133.7 yen, up more than 1 yen on today's closing price. The West German government is also expected to announce increased assistance to the country's industry as a further way of stabilizing the dollar and correcting the worldwide trade imbalance. A senior Sri Lankan police officer has been shot dead in the centre of the capital, Colombo. The officer, Superintendent Terence Pereira, was head of the Counter-Subversion Division, which has been investigating the activities of the outlawed People's Liberation Front, JVP, a left-wing Sinhalese group. He was driving to work when a gunman on a motorcycle opened fire on his car with a machine gun. He was found to be dead on arrival at hospital. One report quotes police sources as saying the murder is believed to be the work of the JVP, which opposes the peace accord between Sri Lanka and India. To end the news, here are the main points again. The South Korean president, Mr. Chun Doo-hwan, has spoken of possible North Korean involvement in the disappearance of a South Korean airliner on Sunday. He said the couple suspected of planting a bomb on the aircraft may have been acting as agents for North Korea with the aim of destabilizing South Korea's presidential elections. Talks have begun between the Prime Minister of the Vietnamese-backed government in Kampuchea, Mr. Hun Sen, and the Kampuchean resistance leader, Prince Norodom Sihanouk. It is the first such meeting since 1978, and it is seen as a significant step towards breaking the deadlock in the Kampuchean conflict. A group of Caribbean prime ministers has offered to mediate in Haiti, where Sunday's general election was abandoned because of violence. The Polish Communist Party has said the government's political and economic reform program must be modified after being rejected by the electorate in a referendum on Sunday. And that's the end of the world news.
And our news about Britain, read by Frederick Payne. The government...
...square earlier this year. The court found him guilty of malicious hooliganism and violating international air regulations. The United Nations Security Council, at a full meeting later today, is expected to agree unanimously that the Secretary-General, Mr. Perez de Cuellar, should visit Iran to discuss the Council's resolution for a ceasefire in the Gulf. The Italian government is reported to have decided to send a naval force to the Gulf to protect Italian shipping. The move follows an attack on Thursday on an Italian container ship. As industrial unrest continues in South Korea, police have stormed two important industrial plants to arrest strike leaders. The government has announced that tough action will be taken to deal with violent protests by workers. And that's the end of the news from London.
Now 24 hours. I'm Tudor Lomas. Later in the programme, why Europe and the United States are improving their relations with China.